Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Sing we now, sing for the ear, sing for the left, I'm singing for the tear.
That's Aerosmith bringing us back. 23 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Dan DeSalvo is our guest. He's senior fellow with the Manhattan Institute. His new book is called Government Against Itself, Daniel DeSalvo, D-I-S-A-L-V-O. I encourage you to check it out. Dan, your book's all about the rise of the government employee, the public sector unions. Let's identify some of them. You got your teachers unions, right? Which there's not really a national teachers union, but there's state teachers union, right?
Well, there are two big national federations. One is the National Education Association.
That's right.
And the other is the American Federation of Teachers. Combine them, and they're basically the big national teachers.
Okay, but don't states have their own unions?
That's right. Well, the way unions work organizationally is they start out at the local level, and you have a local, then you have a statewide federation, then you have a national federation,
right,
whose monies are channeled up from the bottom to the top.
Right. Now, that's for teachers. Then you've got SEIU, Service Employee International Union, something like that.
That's right.
That's a big national one, and that's as anti-American a union as there ever has existed. Would you disagree with that? Is that an overstatement?
Well, I think the key thing to know about SEIU is that it's about half public employees, about half private sector employees. It represents a lot of health and hospital work.
Right. Yeah.
And then the other big union that you want to know about is AFSCME, which is the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. And they represent, lots of different types of government workers. They can represent anyone from sanitation workers to office clerks,
right,
to even accountants, even some university professors.
All right, let me ask you this question. In the private sector, if I live in a right to work state, I don't have to pay dues if a union shop is set up in my company, my employer. In a right to work state, does the same right apply to me if I'm part of a government and other people in my municipality or state or whatever are unionized?
Yes, if you're in a right to work state, let's say like Virginia, for example,
right,
whether you're in the public or the private sector, you cannot be forced to pay dues to a union for representation.
That was the big deal that Walker got done in Wisconsin, wasn't it, for the teachers?
Well, his law called Act 10 in Wisconsin only applied to the public sector, not the private sector.
Okay.
It eliminated...
Right. But do the public sector non-union members have to pay dues in a right-to-work state?
No, in a right-to-work state, it's across the board.
Across the board,
Michigan,
okay, good.
When Michigan recently went right-to-work, that means that no longer can people in the public or the private sector be forced to pay dues.
One of the things that you talk about in your book, and it's really important to understand, Dan, is that the growth of this public sector union force has created a lot of money that can be used for political purposes. Tell us about the dangers of all that.
Well, this plays right off your last question, which is, having in states like my home state here of New York, places where people can be forced to pay dues even if they don't become members of the union, that means the unions have a big, steady, stable, reliable revenue stream. So take today the big, largest campaign contributors in hard money donations to direct donations to candidates and parties over the last 20 years is the teachers union, by a long shot, to federal candidates.
Right.
And at the state level, the unions are often outspending their rivals by very large sums,
and they're overpowering, have the potential to overpower and outgun the private sector influences.
I'll give you an example. In California, the California Teachers Association alone in the first decade of the 21st century outspent the next 3 biggest industries in the state on politics combined.
So think about this. The people who create the jobs, that pay the taxes, so these people can have money to draw their salaries and their benefits as public sector employees, are actually voting against the people who are paying paying their salaries through the taxes.
Well, what you get is tax dollars go with the government as revenue. The government pays its employees to carry out essential and important public services that we all want, and then from there, a slice of those monies, those salaries, are deducted from members' paychecks, funneled to the union, and then back into the political machine.
Yep. To fight against the folks out on the street. Now, one thing I should point out, my attitude toward unions is not toward the members, it's toward the union leadership. And maybe some of the members who agree with them, but there's an awful lot of people who are part of unions intentionally or accident or not intentionally, who don't really like the unions, right?
Well, if you're in a state like New York or California or Illinois, you know, if you want to work in the public sector in most job categories, you're going to be forced to pay an agency fee, which is virtually the same as the union dues. Yeah. So a lot of people who don't have strong views about this just, well, I might as well join the union. So you have that situation.
Right, exactly. Hey, Dan, congratulations on the book. Will you keep us posted on how things are going?
Absolutely.
Come back another day?
Sure.
You want to give us a website?
You can find the book on Amazon, I think, or at Oxford University Press.
All right, and also Manhattan-Institute.com, right?
That's right.
All right, hey, thanks for being here. Dan DeSalvo, ladies and gentlemen.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.